Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do a podcast episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Monday, April 10th, 2017. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. Not unlike the decision I made to play Horizon Zero Dawn on Saturday for just hours on end. I got stuck at this one part, and I was. If you haven't heard of Horizon Zero Dawn, and you're a gamer, and you have a PlayStation 4, what the fuck are you doing with your life? If you don't own this game, if you're any type of gamer, if you're a casual gamer like me, you maybe get one or two games a year, maybe three or four, you know what I'm saying? You get a couple of these joints. If you love video games, and you should be playing this game. It's amazing. It's the best game I've played since The Last of Us. I'm deep into this game. So I was playing it on Saturday and I got stuck. And then, you know, when you get stuck, I used to give up. Younger Chris used to just give up and just say, fine, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm just going to put the game down. You win, computer. And I was like, not this time, damn it. I'm going to beat this game. And I normally, when I'm playing a story-based game, a game with a narrative and whatnot, I don't play music because there's music in the game, and I just don't want to lose any parts of the details, all that shit, the story, blah, blah, blah. And so I got stuck. So the game is this open world game, and it's like the game takes place 1,000 years in the future, where the world has regressed. The world's been fucked up so bad, it's been regressed to primitive times, and people are wearing like ancient Native American-y garb, and like they're like this, they speak in the sun god of the kings of blah, 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 and they have these little townships and shit, and you play this woman named Aloy that has to figure out some things. And she's a young girl who was once an out. It's just a beautiful fuck. So anyway, you playing the game, and you are only armed basically with upgradable bows and arrows, these little bombs and stuff. But mainly, your main weapon is you have a bow and arrow, and they're asking you to shoot and kill these animalistic robots. And some are bigger than others, and some you look at them, you're like, how the fuck am I going to kill this big ass alligator? Or like, is like sometimes, or like a fucking lion from Voltron. Just think of one of those lions from Voltron was evil and you'd have to fight that and kill it. I'm losing all the women that listen to the show, but I don't care. I'm talking about it. So I got stuck. There's this thing called a Deathbringer, and it's this huge giant machine that shoots flames, lasers, bullets, all this shit. It just shoots at you, and there's like these evil people that are trying to resurrect these they're resurrecting these big ass robots trying to kill you. And it took me like 2 hours to beat this fucking thing, and I was just like, I'm gonna beat this. And I was saying, I don't normally listen to hip hop while I'm playing, or any type of music while I'm playing these video games, except like 2K and Madden. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna turn on this Odyssey vibe out, this Odyssey, that Iceberg joint. I love that album. It's growing on me. At first, like in February, I was like, it's good, because Odyssey is one of my favorite MCs, but I was like, it's good, but like now, like, it's starting to really grow on me, and I'm loving it, man. It's fucking great. So I was rocking out to that. Then I finally killed that Deathbringer, and I was so happy. I took a nap, and that's kind of what I did for the rest of my Saturday. And then like I had a taste for some ginger ale, so I went to the grocery store and got some ginger ale at 10:30 at night, and then I went to Redbox. And so that was my Saturday night, ladies, baller life. All right. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? Not that I'm a cardiologist, but if you have something heavy on your heart, your mind, you want to talk about, let's rap about it. Ask me a question and I'll try to guide you through that joint as much as I can. Because that's what I'm about. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 214. There's no guests, you guys. There's no guests. It's just me flying solo. I've got more guests coming for you. I'm going to talk to some people. Don't worry. But right now, it's just me. I'm sitting here in my apartment. I went to work today. Actually, a pretty good day for Monday. I went to Chipotle for lunch with some coworkers. It was unexpected. They asked me to come along, and I felt like the cool kids were asking me to lunch, and I hung out with them. I sat at the cool table for lunch. Chipotle was all right. And I got off work, went to the gym, did some grocery shopping, and now I took a shower, so you have a clean, fresh host blabbing into this microphone. I don't know how long this thing is going to go. I don't know how long this one's going to be. I just got off the phone with my mother, and she told me that text messages are forever. You can't really delete them. And I was like, I kind of know that. Like, it's probably in a cloud somewhere. And she told me this story about some dude that murdered a woman. And I don't know what that had to do with the text. Maybe they texted each other, but she didn't even refer back to the text. My mom is famous for telling, I just love her to death. It's part of what makes her adorable. But it's just like, Mom, why are you telling me this story? They don't really connect. And then since my mom, I don't know if this happens with your parents, but the older, it's going to be either one or both of your parents. Now my parents, so they're in their 70s, and they really like QVC. My mom loves QVC more than my dad, but what my dad and mom both share, they really like cooking gadgets on QVC. So they've got tons of cooking gadgets that they use, like, and they have a bread maker. They love the Flavor Wave. Like, they don't, like, it's you put your food in there and it just like sucks all the grease out. I guess it's like a sexier version of a George Foreman grill. They fucking love the Flavor Wave. And so they love that. Now my mom wants this thing for Mother's Day. She says, I know what I want you to get me for Mother's Day. She wants this digital e-reader and audio player. It looks like an iPad or like a big cell phone. And I'm going to get it for her. She wants it. It's like $80. She wants this thing. The thing about it is she's never going to use this shit. She has a graveyard of electronic devices that she never uses. She gets excited about it. She won't read the instructions. And she's just never going to use it. But she's my mom. She brought me into this world. And if she wants this Bible thing that she's never going to use, I'm going to get it for her, you know? So what are you going to do? She's my mom. And I love her so much. I love her. Yeah, so my week was pretty good. I had a pretty good week last week. I didn't have many. I did have a show at this place called Faulkner in Brooklyn, and I think that's like the South Slope area, I believe it is. And I went to Checkers afterwards, and I shouldn't have gone. It's kind of making me sad now that a lot of these places that I enjoyed when I was a kid, they're not good anymore, and it's getting kind of depressing. Thank God Fuddruckers isn't this way, but Checkers, I was disappointed because there's not as much nostalgia attached to Checkers for me as it was with Fuddruckers, because Fuddruckers, like, I think Fuddruckers is fantastic, and it's always going to have a place in my heart. But just for Checkers, I remember my dad, the first time I went to a Checkers ever in my life. So when I talk about Checkers, it's the equivalent of Rallies. So if you live in the South, or maybe the West Coast, I think, but I think Checkers is Checkers and Rallies mainly like an East Coast Southern thing, maybe. You can correct me on that if you want to. But I did go to a Checkers in Cleveland when I was there a couple years ago. Anyway, first time I went to a Checkers, I was with my dad. It was in Waldorf, Maryland, and we were like, "Oh, what's this place? This looks cool. Two drive-throughs, and oh my God, these fries are good. This burger's good." And now it's just not the same. It's just not the same anymore, man. And it was disappointing. It's like, first of all, I shouldn't have been eating after 9 or 10 o'clock, whenever the fuck it was. Second of all, it's calories and carbs or whatever the fuck that aren't good. Like, let me feel guilty about it. Okay, is feeling guilty about eating that shit is one thing, but then it not being good is another. It's like, fuck, that was good, but I shouldn't have ate this, but it was so fucking good. As opposed to this wasn't good, and I feel even worse for eating it. But so I don't know if I'll do that again. I don't know. Because like even McDonald's is bad for you, but it's better. It was better than that Checkers. I don't know. So, it's just disappointing when stuff isn't good anymore. Fuddruckers is still good though. Where was I going with that? Yeah, so I did that. And then, I did the J Train podcast with Jared Freed. That was a fucking blast. That dude has he has like a huge following on Twitter, Instagram, and his podcast is really cool. And I just had a great time. Like, I had met Jared. He remembered the first time that we met at doing a show in Jersey. And so we're going to get Jared on the show, and hopefully really soon. And we made plans to make that happen. So hoping that happens. It is going to happen. What am I saying? So it's going to be fun. I'm going to talk to him and get you a definitive Jared Freed episode for those of you that are fans of Jared. And if you're new to the show, if you heard me on the J Train podcast, welcome. I hope you stay. So that was fun. And that went up Friday. I posted links on my website and all that good stuff, and Twitter and Facebook. There's also a set that I did from this show called House Party 5000 from about 4 years ago that I discovered while I just Googled myself on SoundCloud. I searched myself on SoundCloud. Google. Google is the same. Google is now becoming the Coke of searching. So I searched myself on SoundCloud, and I saw that set, and I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. That was pretty neat. So I posted that on Twitter. I think I'll post it on the website too. A little TBT action. So that was fun. And Tuesday I went to see the Decepticomics comedy show at the Stress Factory. The Decepticomics, you've heard a few of them on the show. You've heard all of them except Sarome Russell and Dylan Stevenson. And hopefully we'll make that happen. I'm trying to make that happen this year. Let's shoot for that. I'm going to put that in the universe. And if it happens, it's going to happen. I'm going to have these positive thoughts and we're going to make it happen. I'm doing my like booking work on the podcast. I should get that guy. But the Decepticomics are Gordon Baker Bone, John Minus, Sarome Russell, Dylan Stevenson, and Mike Brown. And they're currently touring across the country. They were in Richmond, Virginia. As of the time that I'm recording this now, they were in Richmond. And they're going to be all over. So if you just Google Decepticomics and tour, you'll find it. The website will come up and you'll be able to see those dudes when they're in your town. Five comics, all funny, all different ways of thinking, and different ways of finding their funny. And it's just an enjoyable time. Like, I had a great fucking time at the Stress Factory, and it was just great just being an audience member, hanging out and supporting some good ass comics. You know what I'm saying, young? So that was a delight. Right now I got CNN on mute, and they're talking about Korea, saying they got some nukes. They're gonna keep doing their nukes. And yeah, I don't know, man. It's hug your loved ones, everybody, because we don't know how long this is gonna last. And this is just a fucking shit show, man. Somebody shot up a school in San Bernardino. I don't have all the details on it, but yeah, that was fucked up. And what was that? Within a year, was that San Bernardino shooting a year ago or 2 years ago? I don't know. I can't keep up with all the people killing each other. Kendall Jenner and that Pepsi commercial that was supposed to be evocative of Black Lives Matter, that turned into a shit show. And now, like, I think that what's going to have to happen, what's probably going to happen, is Mark Wahlberg is going to play the guy who greenlit that commercial. And we're going to find out how he deals with that situation. And if, you know, it's going to be a hit. Only thing Pepsi needs to do, all Pepsi needs to do, is you get one of those soda cans and you make it dance at the BET Awards, and then black people will forgive you. Cause that's and maybe you might even get to be a guest star on Black-ish if Pepsi did that. That's all they need to do. What is it with Chris Brown? Has been given a rope that most black artists don't have, and black people are giving it to him. Does Chris Brown have more of a rope than Shia LaBeouf? Has Chris Brown fucked up more than Shia? I don't know Chris Brown's rap sheet. I just know Shia gets in trouble. And it's like, and Shia's white. And Chris Brown, I don't know, man. Shia's kind of been ostracized. He's like been ostracized from mainstream Hollywood, because he's got a bad boy. He's like the Johnny Manziel of Hollywood, except he has pro talent. He has pro level talent. Johnny Manziel hasn't proven himself. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is with Chris Brown. And this is black women and Chris Brown. Not all black women. Not all black women now. Don't blog about me. It just seems like he's just been given a lot more slack than most. So he's been getting a lot more room to fuck up than most people because he can dance. He's not that great of a singer. He's no Usher. And I sound like, and I've had my Usher dedication episode before, so I'm not gonna get into it now. But my God, he's no Usher Raymond IV, I'll tell you that. And then I can't say anything else that anybody else has said on about Kendall Jenner. Like, they were saying, I think the homie Rod from The Black Guy Who Tips was saying that you can't call Kendall Jenner a boss girl, a girl boss or a boss lady, and when something bad happens, she's a victim. Where she agreed to do the commercial, some of her handlers should have said, oh, maybe this is kind of like making fun of Black Lives Matter or belittling it. You know, it's tone deaf and it's in poor taste. And so instead of just saying, damn, I fucked up. I'm a boss. I'm Kendall Jenner. This wasn't a good look and I shouldn't have done it. I apologize. This was bad. But now she's just running to the cover of her mom, who is, probably one of the greatest minds in American history. She just turned all of that into money, man. I don't know. And then they made fun of it on SNL, and people got their jokes off. Like, all you have to do to make the police respect you or not beat the shit out of you is Pepsi. You give them a Pepsi, and everything is going to be okay. And Twitter went ape shit. They went crazy over it. But if anybody works at Pepsi and you're listening to this, next BET Awards, get one of those Pepsi cans or even a bottle to dance, do an apology dance, a dance of apology at the BET Awards, and all will be forgiven. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's giving you the real, really good hot takes like I am. Nobody's doing that, you guys. What else? Wow. If you're new to this show, this probably isn't the best episode to listen to, because I'm just like, I want to give you something. Like, I feel like I was going to wait until I had a guest on and to do the show again. Because it's real. You're getting the show. You're getting something that's going to pass the time. Let me give you some music review, talk about some music and some movies, and we'll call it a night. We'll call it an episode. Joey Badass, All America, All American with 3 K's, Badass. If you thought Joey Badass was going to have a sophomore slump, he didn't, you guys. It's good. It's a good ass album. Joey Badass made a good ass album. How about that? It's kind of, I hate this term. I'm not even going to say it. It's politically minded. It's done well. There were some parts where I thought, like, okay, what is he singing? Like, oh my God, don't try to be like Drake. You're Joey Badass. Spit them flames, dog. And that's what he did. That's what he did, you guys. And it's very socially conscious. But not in a pedantic way, not in like he's just like, it's not like he's wearing this thing. This album is basically a product of the times, and it's done well. It's entertaining. There's a song called Super Predator that's really good. It's just a really solid album all the way through. I enjoyed it. I gotta give it a few more spins before I really wrap my brain around it. But I was driving around in Brooklyn on Monday, just vibing out to it, and it's definitely official. It's really good. Nelly Furtado's back, you guys. Nelly Furtado's back with this album called The Ride, which I just kind of listened to. It's fine. It's Nelly. If you like Nelly Furtado, you're probably gonna like this, and I do like her. What's the album she had? See, and I didn't even know I was going to talk about this. I wrote down Nelly Furtado, but I didn't write down what's the name of that album where Timbaland produced it, and it made her a star. Promiscuous girl, you know what I want. No, 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 no. She, her last album was 2012. I haven't heard of that. Album's called Loose in 2006. So almost 10 years ago. Then she had an album called Mi Plan in 2012. The Spirit Indestructible. I have not heard that. And The Ride. Also, Michelle Branch is back, young. Like, Michelle Branch came back. She's, you know, I haven't heard the new Michelle Branch. Album's called Hopeless Romantic. I wanna hear it. The last thing, what she had an album, Hotel Paper was a second, was it? I write mainly on I don't even know that song. I just remember some of it. Like, when did that come out? Cause she was doing something like, she kind of did a country album too, I think, with this other girl, with this Michelle Jacquette de Sevenson, what? And she got divorced too, so I'm about to be in them DMs. How old is she? 33. Good age. Where is her discography? Where is it? Hotel Paper. Yeah, Hotel. So, Broken Bracelet. I don't remember that. I remember The Spirit Room. Is that the song with "You're Everything I Want"? You're everything. Yep. I remember that. You Get Me? I remember some of these joints. Hotel Paper was 03. So yeah, over 10 years. Damn. 2003. Are You Happy Now? Oh my God, I love. Could you look me in the eye and tell me that you're happy now? The All right, I'm sorry. Oh my God, some of these pop songs back in the day. God, can you? Is back in the day? Am I at the age where back in the day is 2000? Oh my God. Ooh. Yeah, man. Is that 14 years? Yeah. Right. Oh my God. Her first album in 14 years. That's crazy. But she's living some life, so I'm guessing this album's probably really fucking good. If she's like, I'm coming back and I'm gonna talk about some shit. I got divorced in 2015, I got a baby, I got a kid, so she's probably talking about some shit on here. So I'm excited to hear that. Little Dragon's got an album coming out called Season High, and that's coming out Friday. A couple of songs are on. I pre-ordered it on iTunes and they put out a couple songs. I kind of don't want to listen to. I listened to it. I saw the video and I'm like, okay, Little Dragon back. I'm there. I'm going to try to go see them when they come back. Another album, Chaz Bundick meets the Matson 2, called Star Stuff. I've never heard of the Matson 2 until Toro y Moi released that Live from Trona documentary / I guess like video project. It's just like his live set from some desert in Cali, and I think they backed him up on that special. It's kind of like a special documentary. It's a live album, and they did a video, and I've just heard the record. I haven't watched the project, but I gotta check that out. It's like 35 minutes. It's like a jam session. If you like Toro y Moi, I know he got in trouble because he wrote a tweet, can't we all just be racist together? And people were pissed about that. People I didn't even know liked his music. Like, fuck you. You know how you retweet somebody and you quote the tweet and you're like, fuck you, man. You don't even know. And the homie Michael Felder tweeted at me and said, come get your boy. I was like, fuck, I didn't say it. I mean, he's kind of right, but I didn't say that shit. I was like, damn, you're associating me with him. And Felder has a lot of followers. Damn it, Felder. Nobody said anything to me about it. Except him. Except Felder. But if you like his stuff, man, that's out. I like that. And I think that's all the music. So I gave you some music to listen to. And you heard me sing pop songs from 14, 15 years ago. Movies. Let's do movies and we'll get out of here. I have not been to the theater since last month. I told somebody that I thought it was Before I Fall was the last thing I saw in a theater, but the last thing I saw was Personal Shopper, which was just all right. So I went to Redbox and I rented Passengers, the, what's his name? Chris, come on, man. The guy's got your name, Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. And I know people trashed it. It's like 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, 41% on Metacritic. But I just wanted to see it anyway. I like Chris Pratt. I like Jennifer Lawrence. So, I mean, the stakes are so low on Redbox where it's just like, oh, that wasn't good. Oh, God. Ugh. So this is a synopsis. The description. On a routine journey through space to a new home, two passengers sleeping in suspended animation are awakened 90 years too early when their ship malfunctions. As Jim and Aurora face living the rest of their lives on board with every luxury they could ever ask for, they begin to fall for each other. Unable to deny their intense attraction until they discover the ship's in grave danger. Wait, I didn't read that right. Unable to deny their intense attraction until they discover the ship is in grave danger. With the lives of 5,000 sleeping passengers at stake, only Jim and Aurora can save them all. This movie was basically Chris Pratt being a creep for online stalking her profile, because he sees her sleeping and he's looking at her, oh, she's fucking hot. Then he looks at her, like, her video that she made, and she's like, I'm a writer, I do this, I do that, and I'm cute, I'm white, and oh my God. And then he just basically, he's a creep. And then she finds out, she gets pissed at him, and it's in outer space. And then Lawrence Fishburne's in it. He wakes up only to die, only to give them a key card. And he fucking, it's like, you're going to wake, he's like the magical Negro. Then he helps the white people be better people. He helps them get better at life and maintain their lives. And then he just dies. So I was like kind of looking at that with a screw face. Sorry that I spoiled Passengers. Passengers is one of those movies, like, if you didn't see it when it was in the theaters and you haven't seen it while it was just came out on video, it's kind of like, are you really that pressed? But I was just sorry that I spoiled that. That's all it was, though. He was just about that creep life. But it worked out for him. So if you can be about that creep life and it works out for you, I'm not going to endorse that. I'm not going to endorse being about that creep life. So I retract that statement that I halfway got out halfway. And this movie was basically a date movie masquerading as a science fiction flick. It was fine. It was I wouldn't give it a 31%. Maybe a fit. It was okay. I got mad that Lawrence Fishburne was in it and he woke up just to die, and he got a check and everything. But it was just like, I see you, Lawrence, get that paper. But I was like, damn, fuck this movie. I was like, fuck it. Then I rented this movie that I was watching a trailer. I was watching a trailer of this. I saw this Shia LaBeouf movie called Man Down, and it's the movie that was only sold one ticket over in the UK. That's kind of not fair. Like, they were shitting on Shia LaBeouf, and I know he got in trouble. I know he got in trouble because he got drunk at this bowling alley, and he called the bartender racist because the bartender wouldn't give him French fries. He's like, you fucking racist, and you're going to hit me? You're trying to hit me with a vodka bottle? Really? You're fucking racist. Like, so he's spazzing out. Is he white Chris Brown? See, Chris Brown doesn't do no shit. He threw a chair like in Good Morning America, like at some point, and he was gonna get interviewed. It's just some weird fucking thing. Like, he was kind of disrespectful to Robin Roberts. I don't remember. But I don't know if Shia never, like, hey, I don't know that he physically hurt nobody. But then, I don't know. I'm trying to put my finger on why Chris Brown. I mean, everybody fucks up. But, like, that was brutal what he did, yo. That was crazy. I don't know, man. All right. People panned it. And that movie was just kind of like, ah. And it's not like Shia's not good. I know I mentioned him earlier, but he was good in the movie. It was just like, this movie was just like, But anyway, that's not the movie that I want to talk about. I saw this movie called Imperium, and it's about Daniel Radcliffe. Harry Potter plays an FBI agent working to uncover terrorist plots, and he goes undercover as a skinhead. He's recruited by he basically goes undercover to infiltrate a white supremacist group. So this is like the white version of Into Deep. Remember that movie? An urban classic. So fucking good. Omar Epps, LL Cool J, Nia Long, Hill Harper with blonde hair. This movie is fucking great and doesn't get enough credit. Doesn't get the credit it deserves. So good. And I got kind of psyched. I was like, Harry Potter is gonna like pretend to be a white supremacist. And I think I might have read something about this before. So I got kind of psyched. And like, if you want to see Harry Potter say nigger, not nigga, but nigger, like, you could kind of tell he felt uncomfortable saying it, even though, like, he called it was a scene where they were protesting and he had on a shirt that said white power. And one of his friends, like, was like his black coworker, was like, Nate? Nate, what are you doing? You know, they were doing the white supremacist Klan march, and people were protesting the march. And there was a black character that was like, Nate, what are you doing? He's like, shut up, nigger. Shut the fuck up, nigger. And then the way that they were saying it, like, and then, like, it was a scene where he almost got caught, like, where his white power friends were about to beat up this Mexican and white woman because they were interracial dating. And Harry Potter, like, was like, nah, y'all. He's like, made a diversion. It was like, and they got mad and they went in the car, and the evil supremacist guy was like, what the fuck, man? What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing, man? I was going to fuck them up. Then he was like, do you want to just, and he got out of it. He was like, do you want to just, like, see all the fucking cameras around? He said, you see all the cameras around? The bar that we just went into? The liquor store we just went into? What the fuck, man? You just want to go to jail with the niggers and spicks? I was like, Harry Potter. So, if you were a fan of Harry Potter and you read all the books and that holds a place near and dear to your heart, and you're like, oh, I love Daniel Radcliffe, I'm going to see everything he's in, and you're black, or if you're a brown person, just brace yourself for him saying bad shit about your race, even though he's pretending. I was kind of like, fuck you, Harry Potter. You know, I was kind of like looking at him side eye. But this movie was just kind of like, it's on demand. It's on Stars. It was just, it didn't pack the punch that I thought it would. But if you have cable, if you have Stars, it's definitely worth checking out. But it was just something about it that it really didn't. It's got a good cast. Toni Collette, Tracy Letts, Daniel Radcliffe. Those are the three leads. Like, Tracy Letts plays this Rush Limbaugh type character. It's interesting what they do with that character. And it's kind of like what I think about a lot of. This movie does have some merit. So it was just kind of like, the more I think about it, it's like, it's kind of like what I think goes on with some of these news personalities anyway. So it was decent. But yeah, I would say, you know, if it's something you're just looking for something interesting, you could see it. But just as a brown person, I saw maybe one of the Harry Potter movies, so it didn't really hurt me. But it's like, I could just imagine, like, when Harry Potter started, how old was he when this joint started? So he's 27. He was born in 1989. So when did the first Harry Potter come out? Where the fuck is that? See his filmography. All right. So he started this shit, like, how old was he? 2001. I was 21. He was 9? He was 9 years old? 21, man. He was a youngin' when this joint started, was he? Hold on a second. I'm really bad at math. He was 12 years old. So he was a kid. And if you see him, like, he's like this adorable kid playing Harry Potter. He was like, Remimimum Semimin, whatever he was saying with the reverse, with the wand and shit. I played the Quidditch game. That was pretty fun. Like, the EA made a Quidditch game. I remember playing that. I rented it when you could actually rent video games from Blockbuster. Chrysanthemum Bimenzepine. And you turn somebody into something. But the Quidditch video game was actually pretty fucking fun. I remember that. It was kind of like soccer mixed, you know, Quidditch. All right. It was pretty good, man. Anyway, so he was a kid. He's like 12, and now he's like, fucking niggers and spicks. I was like, wow. Wow, you've grown up. You know, part of me still, I know he was acting, but part of me was like, I don't know, young. All right. Well, look, guys, that's the end of the show. I know this was a short one, but I just wanted to give you a placeholder to the next week. I didn't want to leave you hanging. And I wanted to give you an episode. I wanted to talk with you and share a little bit of my life with you. Because that's how I do it. Yeah. So thanks so much for listening. Hopefully we're going to have a guest for you next week, and it's going to be better than this. I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.